The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As a baseball fan, I appreciate their comeback season. But more importantly, as president, I'm grateful for their character and their embrace of the essential role they played in the spirit of that city. Sometimes sports seems like it's trivial.
It's just
entertainment.
Yeah, that's all
and
it is.
And every once in a while...
Yeah. All right, get him off the show. Turn it off. I can't stand it. The man comes back from getting slapped around by Putin, getting pushed around by every world leader, laughed at behind his back, and what does he do? He invites a bunch of baseball players to the White House. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him. The country's in hell because of him. He's united the world against us and divided us against each other. What could be worse? Well, wait, you'll see what'll be worse. I have all the news stories on the Savage Nation, and I don't want to talk about him, to be honest. He's going to give a speech in about an hour about the success of Obamacare. Now, we know overnight they found 5 million illegal aliens, probably as far away as Venezuela, to sign up. They opened up stations to sign for Obamacare in Chile. They signed up penguins. But they got as much gabagool as they could into the freezer, and they made a salami out of it. How much attention can you pay to this after a while without going crazy? You know what I really want to talk about for a few minutes? Every culture... Well, since immigration's on everyone's mind, it's all we hear, right? And all immigrants are equal, which you know is the biggest lie of the century. No, some immigrants are different than others, and some immigrant groups work harder, some immigrant groups contribute to society in ways that others don't. So let's start with the obvious. We all eat spaghetti. We all eat pizza. Most of us eat tacos. Everyone knows a few Yiddish words, a few Italian words. Can you name some words from cultures that have become part of your life, even though they're not part of your life, for example? A guy that I know was playing with the word Gumar last night because he watches The Sopranos. Now, if you watch any of the gangster stuff, Sopranos have been off the air now. The word Gumar or Gumar is a mistress of a gang guy, right? Kamari and Gumar. I don't even know the derivation of it. Does anyone know the derivation of the word Gumar, girlfriend? That every wife who's married to a wise guy knows that he's going to have a Gumar on the side. Remember the famous scene in The Sopranos where the wife finally, after 15 years of marriage, screams at him. She smells his shirt and there's perfume on it, or she finds a broken fingernail in there from one of the predator women that he's gone out with, a 3-inch nail. In other words, one of the Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of Beverly Hill, Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of the lowest slums in America, in other words. The kind of predatory female that drove men into other men's arms. The kind of predatory females that drove men into other men's arms are now held up as role models as the real housewives of predators. They look like animals from another planet. But anyway, so that wife in this thing, The Sopranos, smells the perfume of someone, and she says to him whatever, and he says, hey, look, you're living in this palace here in New Jersey. You can buy anything you want. You knew going in who my father was. You knew who I am, and you knew what's going to happen. So don't act so shocked all of a sudden. Remember that or not? So we're talking about a word, Gumar. No one knows where it derives from. I've been looking it up. And it originates from the Italian verb cumulare, to accumulate. I don't believe that. Then in another dictionary, the Urban Dictionary, it said the word Gumar, a girlfriend, derives from a Chinese word, a Cantonese word. I don't know where that came from. Now, I'm not asking anyone to call about this in particular, saying, what, is he crazy today altogether? What is he talking about? Why is he not talking about Obamacare? Isn't that what the others do in talk radio? Maybe. I never talk about Obamacare. I am not interested in it. I could care less about Obamacare. And I'll tell you something else. It's the most losing issue the Republicans ever could have latched onto. They are so out of touch with reality that they latched onto a free medical program, which, of course, 56% of the population is going to love. Why? What's not to love? Free medical care? And the morons who work are going to pay for it? Why is it not a winning thing for a corrupt or a Democrat? I want to ask you something else. Because I want to get off that topic. I can't stand it. It's all a lie. Everything he does is to divide and conquer and lie to you. Comes back slapped by Putin, spit on by every leader around the world, laughed at behind his back, and the first thing he does is he has baseball players in the White House. Who? For the morons who believe in him. That's all. So I want to ask you, what words do you use in your life? I mean, like, I use some words. Let's say I call someone a shmendrick. You don't know what it is. It's like a foolish man, let's say. Derives from a Jewish word, probably meaning a foolish man. I don't know what it really means. But many of us use Italian words, Italian slang words, Jewish slang words. Are there any Irish slang words? I don't know of any. Are there any Spanish slang words that have become common parlance in America? You know, I think it's fun because English as a language is already an amalgamation of languages, as you well know. But I'm curious which words have made it into your you know, vocabulary. What do you use in a daily phrase that is not really English? I mean, you hear the word ubats. That means crazy in slang. They say, oh, that guy's ubats. I mean, crazy. Everyone's heard that, and you laugh at it. We understand what that is. Or the word omerta, a vow of silence. But you know it's not limited to Italians. I mean, I don't know. I know many Jewish people who practice omerta. I know Irish people. What's the last thing an Irishman with my old joke, what's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? Answer is enemies. I mean, you heard that one. You can put, and you'll still laugh at it because you can put any ethnic group into that one, right? However, the question to you is, do not call under any circumstances about Obamacare. I will not take a call. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Here's a news story, some red meat going at you. Here is some red meat going your way. The Chinese are acquiring large chunks of land in communities all over America. So the first thing I say is, wait a minute. Should limits be placed on foreign ownership of United States land, farms, and factories? The answer is, of course, schmuck. If you lived in a sane nation that wasn't sold out to every racketeer in the world, of course we would limit foreign ownership of U.S. land, farms, and factories. The Chinese are buying up our factories. The Chinese are buying up our farmlands. The Chinese are buying up our housing projects. The Chinese are buying up our movie chains. The Chinese are buying up our food manufacturing companies. And, of course, an example is Smithfield Foods. They purchased Smithfield Foods, and they suddenly own 460 large farms, and the Chinese became the top employer in dozens of communities all over the U.S. Now, they happen to be the largest pork producer and processor in the world. They have facilities in 26 U.S. states. They employ tens of thousands of Americans. They own 460 farms. They have contracts with 2,100 other farms. But now a Chinese company, which bought it for $4.7 billion, are now owning a huge aspect of rural America. How is that possible? Because we have a government of the, let's see if I can get the right word for prostitute from the Urban Dictionary. Can I use it without it? Is it dirty to say putana? It's a slang word for a government agent. That's what we have running the country today. They can be bought, by the way, for less money than Anderson Cooper is paid on CNN for failed ratings. WABC, come on, welcome to the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Doctor?
Hello? Go ahead, what's on your mind? Where does the word come from?
I believe it's a Greek derivation of Romina, which is a girl that you're seeing on the side, or you're just seeing, but not, you know, somebody you've seen study.
What is the Greek word for it?
Romina.
Romina?
No, with a G, Romina.
Oh, Romina. It's actually of Greek derivation.
I believe so.
Well, it's possible. I don't know. You probably have as valid an answer for the word Guma derives as anyone, because Sicily was conquered at least, I know, six to nine different cultures, including, as you may know, the Northerners conquered Sicily. It was a conquered nation. And each time the conquerors took over, including the Greeks, portions of their culture became ingrained in the Sicilian language and culture, correct?
Oh, without a doubt. If you go to Crete, they actually, when you hear the Greeks speak Greek, it comes out with the Italian stereotype. Hey, what's going on?
So look at America. America is now being conquered by Mexicans. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
With a little help from the Indian chiefs who were selling us out for wampum and booze, the equivalent of wampum and booze, the vermin in both parties, are virtually selling our country lock, stock, and barrel to Mexico. The Mexicans are conquering America. So what part of the Mexican culture has become part of American culture? I'd like to know. That's what I'd like to know. I mean, are we using any Spanish words or Mexican words right now? I don't know of any. Everyone eats a taco now and again or a burrito. And the Mexican people are, by and large, very nice people. I mean, the Mexican people I like are the nicest people on the earth. The ones I know who work are very nice people. But that's irrelevant. What's relevant is we should have an immigration policy that decides who comes here and who doesn't come here. Not you walk in and you get the benefits. That's all. It's like a shakedown. Now, you know why the government prostitutes want them in here. It's not because they're compassionate. Because they know that 9 out of 10 of them will vote for a Democrat. Anyone who gives them something for nothing, they're going to vote for. What do you have to be a genius to figure that out for? And the moron Republicans go along with it. Why? Well, they got nothing to lose. Because they dip their beak into the same well as the Democrats. What do they got to lose? In other words, the more money floating around from the government in general comes out of both parties. It doesn't really matter. That's all. What cultures have given us words, slang words even, that have become part of your vocabulary? I think it's an interesting topic because I'm so bored of Obama. By the way, where's Mrs. Obama? Answer. Answer. She's still enjoying her vacation. Michelle is still on spring break on her trip to China with her daughters and her mother. And you're paying for it, moron, with no press allowed. That's why you don't even see a picture of it. Michelle's tour is the most invisible tour in the history of a first lady. See, I got plenty of callers now on the... Now, we're talking about a different word here. Eric, you put up Goomba callers. Eric, can you hear me? So you got guys up who are calling about the word Goomba, right? Okay, but I want to know about Gumar, not Goomba. All right, let's play some Dean Martin, A Mambo Italiano. Let's see if we can get that. Maybe we'll get some people calling, recognizing that there's only so much I can take of the waste management business called the United States government.
Mambo Italiano, hey Mambo, Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with it. Hey,
we loved this song when I was a kid. I remember when I first tasted pizza. It was disgusting, frankly. I was at my relative's house in Pennsylvania. I must have been 5 years old. I never heard of pizza. It was just coming into America, to the mainstream. And I was way up in the attic of this house in Pennsylvania. You know, I loved to go and visit them. And a smell came wafting up the steps. I thought someone had vomited in the kitchen. And I went downstairs and I said, who's sick? And they said, no, this is a pizza pie. I said, what stinks like vomit? They said, that's called the cheese on it, the mozzarella cheese. To me, the first smell was... See, children, you can't... To a child, pizza, it smelled like vomit to me. Now, I eat pizza. I try to avoid it because it's fattening, but I love it. It's one of my favorite addictions. I'm a little off base today, but I'm having a good time. And the dog is sick. He wouldn't get out of bed. And he didn't have to go to school. So I had to carry him off to bed day two. Then he wouldn't eat. That's day three. And I said, oh, God, my dreams of him disappearing. Here they are. That's day three. Won't get off the bed. So my son was here, who has five dogs. And, of course, we argued for the whole time because he and I are like twins. And everything I say, he whatever. So he says to me, make him rice. It'll cure him. I said, I don't have time. I got a show to do today. He says, make him rice, beets, and beef. I said, leave me alone. I'm not making rice in the kitchen. I got to do a show today. He said, make him rice. It'll fix him. So we made him rice, and it made him better. So the dog is showing the signs of life. He ate some rice with chopped up turkey. No, my son's thing with food is true. He cured him. The dog is showing signs of life. That's number one. So number one, son is on one airplane flying in one direction. The missus is another plane flying east. And I'm feeling distracted. I don't like when the family is in different planes flying in different places. I'm one of those people who actually go onto Flight Tracker during a show if they're in the air. And I look at the map to see where they are, like it matters, right? Neil's laughing. I mean, I don't understand that myself. What's the difference if I know it's over Dallas? What's that going to do to help anybody? Yeah, peace of mind, still in the air. In other words, it's got 1 hour and 21 minutes to go. And I'm the type that the minute the plane lands, it's in the thing, you can't take the phone, and I'm already on the cell phone. So how are you? How was the... In other words, I talk to the person on the plane that you wish to God wasn't on the plane, was already talking when the plane lands. All right, I'm having a good time. I'm feeling better. The show is my salvation, I swear to God. Without it, I'd be a dead man. Frank on WABC, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Frank. Savage. The whole Gumani thing came from back in the day, my grandmother would call her friends Gumani. The men would call Goomba or Goompa, And what happened was they would joke around with each other and call them like little trollops. And she said, "You're Gumari, Gumari." And it went from a friendly term where they were being kind of fresh to each other, like straight from a friendly term. And then it was they were making fun of each other a little bit here and there. You Gumari, like a little whore.
But what did it originally mean, Gumari, when it was friendly?
When it was friendly, Gumad, like my good friend, like Ma Guma was the really the
because like in The Sopranos, they always say he was with his Gumar, and that meant that came to mean a gangster's girlfriend, right?
Yeah, that's what it evolved to. But like you know, like Calamad, you know, there's no Calamad, it's calamari. So we
yeah, but wait, now we're getting into a vulgarity here. If you're comparing a Gumar to calamari, I have to cut you off. Because then we're going to get into lewd jokes. Because we can't go there. You know where this is going to lead on April 1st. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. I'm not going to sing. That's the lowest form of talk radio, is singing over words. I love Dean Martin in his day. Tragedy, wherever you look, tragedy. The son dying. Did you know his son enlisted in the Army and died in a jet crash? Crashed into the mountains? Did you know Frank Sinatra's mother was killed in a private jet crash? Coming out of L.A.? I mean, wherever you look, you think the other guy flies like a bird, and you're the only one, you know, crawling like a worm. It's all an act. Everyone walks around with a broken heart somewhere. Turn up the music. I'm sick of it all. It is the Savage Nation. We're going to have all the news, views, and reviews you can possibly stand when I come back. Gantare. Where do you think music comes from? A sad heart. In order to counter the sad heart, they make up a song. Or they make a painting or a poem, and yet they don't take a pill and kill their emotions, you schmendrick. The doctors are killing everything.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On Talk 560, KSFO. So we're talking about foreign words, slang words that have entered the vocabulary of America, Italian, Jewish words. I think most people use an Italian word here and again, even if they're not of Italian origin. A Jewish word now and again. I don't know. Does anyone use a word derived from Yiddish in the common parlance of America? I think so. You may not know it, but many of our common words, even our slang words, derive from Chinese words, from Japanese words. And German words, certainly. You know, the German was going to be the official language of America way back when, and it lost by one vote. Otherwise, we'd be speaking German. You didn't know that. And if Obama had been president in 1949, you'd be a lampshade, and you'd be speaking German. He would have capitulated to Adolf Hitler, no doubt. You know, last night, I told you, one of my favorite channels is called Military History, which, of course, the idiots changed to Heroes Channel, because they're afraid of the word military might turn the women off. And I was watching one of the great battles of Korea, the reservoir, the Chosin Reservoir, where the American troops are outnumbered like 6,000 to 80 people or something. I couldn't believe the horrors that the men went through at that battle. And then I wake up and I read about white privilege conferences where they say whites are never cured of racism. And these psychopaths have taken over the educational establishment. Mainly at places like Harvard, Madison, Wisconsin, the University of California. The sick people, the mentally ill, sick people who in my day would have been in mental hospitals now have PhDs in critical whiteness studies. There's actually a field called critical whiteness studies. I'm not making this up. And they go into the universities, either in that, women's studies, minority studies, ethnic studies, and then they promulgate the same stupidity that they learned. And then they tell you that they're academic geniuses. And I look at the guys who fought and they died, and I say, would they have fought and died at Anzio, at Okinawa, at D-Day, if they knew that this man was president and this kind of low-level slime had crept into our institutions of lower living? What would they have died for? What would they have given their life for? And I mean, you see, this is what you got to understand, the geography of my mind is different than yours. I look at the world through my lens, and my lens sees the world in a different way than most people in America do today. In some ways, and I'm not from that generation, I'm much younger than the guys who fought in Korea, but I got to tell you, I was listening to some of the survivors, the heroes, and I was saying to my son, I said, you know, I'll bet to my audience I sound like a lot of these old guys and how they viewed America and how I view America and why it resonates with so many millions of Americans, because wherever they turn, they see these low-life degenerates who got degrees in critical whiteness studies or talking about white racism, hating Christians, hating whites, hating the church, hating family, hating mother, hating father, hating police, loving criminals, loving communists, loving Islamists, and they don't know which way to turn anymore. They don't know what country they're living in. He said, well, you're probably right, but what are you going to do? But keep on doing what you're doing. I'm proud of your work ethic, Dad. I mean, that was his birthday present when he said that he's proud of my, you know, work ethic, which it is. I do it for basically as a role model. Now, I looked at websites today to say, what the heck has this country come to that you can't even find news on most websites anymore? And you go and you look at them. And today I was going to review some of the ridiculous news covered around the world. And I was going to ask you, which websites do you go for news? Eric, pay attention. Which websites do you go for news? Eric can't hear me, or he can. Which websites do you trust? Are there any TV networks that you trust? Like Hillary Clinton's favorite TV network is allegedly Al Jazeera. She said, now that Al Jazeera, now that's a news station. They don't have any. Now that's a news channel. Do you read newspapers anymore? Which ones? Do you read news magazines? I mean, that's like reading the Gutenberg Bible. Do you still read books? And which was... No, I can't do that because I know they're going to call up with some books I don't even want to hear about. So you go to the websites. I'm going to give you an example of kind of garbage that people look. They say they're stunned. The New York Post used to be, okay, it was always a tabloid. But it had news, not anymore. Headline, Farrell's happy becomes unlikely protest anthem. I don't know who he is. The ugly daughter of a foul-mouthed man named Baldwin goes to the New York Post and stretches out on a desk. And she gets a full-page coverage. What a PR agent she must have. It must be better than Glenn Beck's PR agent. Then I read, Houston Rockets taunted server with anti-gay slurs. Again, gay slur, anti-gay slur. Gay slur, anti-gay slur. Day and night, slur, bully, bully, bully. Let me tell you something. When you hear the word bullying, you know you're being bullied. Whoever uses the word bully most often is bullying you. Then they show you celebrity siblings take fame. Star snaps of the day. Lady Gaga wears this. No news. I don't understand what happened to the New York Post. I don't understand it. All right, so you go to another site. Let's try another one. Let's give another one a fair shot that you may go to. Let's go in the San Francisco area, my hometown that I love to bash. Here's the headline. Your own fool's paradise. Dig in here to see odd products. April Fool's pranks. Dancers block Google bus. That's the latest thing. The young people who are working for Google are doing well because they're smart and they got a good job. So the losers in the city who have no jobs and who live off public assistance and get crazy checks object to the company's use of buses to take young workers to their jobs down in Silicon Valley. That's their problem. The losers block a bus. Lightning strikes Berkeley woman. I mean, that's an oxymoron. Most women in Berkeley were stricken by lightning years ago, so I don't know why that's a news story. After hearing a thunderclap that sounded like a bomb, Emily Davis felt a metallic taste in her mouth. Maybe that was the Adderall that she just ingested. What do you mean metallic taste? And she's still living. Why is that a news story if it didn't kill her? The headline should have been lightning strikes Berkeley woman, and she's still crazy. It didn't cure her. The electroshock therapy didn't cure her. That would have been their proper headline. There's nothing in here. FBI searches Yee AIDS office. They still have the Democrat scandal. Of course, it hasn't touched any of the congresswomen or any of the local senators. And, of course, there's no investigation of the 700 missing fine arts paintings from the museums. And you have no idea what I want to say about those who run the fine arts museums in San Francisco. I was once a donor. I gave a significant amount of money, and I got so disgusted with these losers from Pacific Heights, these inheritance cases who run it. They run it like a sorority at a bad college. with bad outfits that they bought somewhere else. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. But to give away paintings like this, they give away paintings and they don't go to jail? Okay, we got some good callers here. Mike on WABC, which slang word do you use?
How you doing, Duck Savage?
That's a dirty word. We can't even put it on the air. Dump it. Dump it. Dump, 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 bump, bump. We can't use dirty words, okay? WABC, Sophia, welcome to the program. Go ahead. What's your slang word of the day?
Dr. Savage, it's Gumara is actually not pronounced Guma like they say on The Sopranos. That's just very poor diction. It's Gumara, which means godmother, which over the years became a code word, slang word, for the other woman or the other men. Like a Gumbara would be, you know, the other man and vice versa. But it actually means Gumara means godmother.
Why would a girlfriend be called a godmother?
Well, because it became over the years. I can't tell you exactly how it originated, but over the years, it became a slang word and a kind of a code word, like if you didn't want your kids to understand you were saying the mission.
Oh, so if you knew the husband was cheating on you, you wouldn't ever want a kid to know, so you'd say he's with the Gumar, and the kid wouldn't know what it meant.
Exactly, and then over the years, it became so common, it just kind of, became like part of the...
So you know the language... I have a question for you. Why do Italians refer to sauce as gravy? I don't understand. What's the difference between a sauce and a gravy?
Here we go again. We had this conversation, Doctor. The problem is this. In America, it became gravy. No real self-respecting Italian from the other side would ever call it gravy because there is no Italian word gravy.
That's what I'm saying. Gravy is something light, like on a roast beef in McDonald's or something.
Here's the technical translation for gravy is succo, which means juice from the meat. In other words, the juice that comes from the meat is called succo, right? S-U-K-O. Now, what happens is here in America, when the Italians came over and they're stimulated, they make the meat. They started calling meat sauce when they make a Sunday sauce with meat. They started calling it gravy because there was meat in it. You know what I mean?
I understand, but like on the Sopranos, when they show the wise guy actor sitting, they say, the gravy's good here, right? I said, that didn't strike me as the correct use of the word, because even from New Jersey, they wouldn't use the word gravy. Am I correct?
Absolutely not. It's a total American.
I thought so. You see, as good as the series was, and it's almost flawless, I would just say, in a minor, point, not that important to anybody, I'd say I don't think Italians use the word gravy at all.
Doctor, they had a very poor Italian coach on that show. The word...
Oh, so I'm mistaken that it's so good.
So that the way that they, use the Italian words, you could tell it wasn't a real authentic Italian. It was like...
I love voice coaches who try to teach actresses from the Midwest how to sound like they're from New York or Jersey. Or the latest thing is to everyone to sound like they're white trash from Mississippi. And that's so pathetic to listen to it. That's the latest trend, is the white trash accent that doesn't even exist. You notice that? The white trash accent has become the biggest thing for the girls from the Midwest who go to acting school. They all want to make believe that they wear ripped dresses, they fornicate like mink in heat, and they try to sound like they're from Mississippi.
Well, the last time we spoke, we talked about gravy versus sauce and versus... But actually, if there's a word, it would be ragu, which is ragu.
Ragu, that's sauce.
Yes, that's how they say sauce in Italian, or salsa, But
oh,
no,
I would love to be at your house one of these Sundays and have a ragu.
That would be my dream come true.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you very much. That's a nice call. I know, look, it's killing the radio show. You want to hear Obamacare. You want to hear about the bad media. You want to hear about low information voter. I mean, how many times can you hear the same thing? How could you listen to this day in and day out? I can't listen to it. I can't. That's why I'm reading the other websites. I can't take it anymore. Hey, I'll go to one more to show you what it's become. I'm going to go to one. Let's see what you might go to. What should we go to show them what people might go? What websites do you go to for your news? That's a reliable one. I go to a few, but I'm saying, what do you go to? Here, I'll give you another one here. What They Become. We saw Jesus in a Teardrop. No, I'm kidding. We went to San Francisco. There are none other. Okay, New York Times. Very serious. They take the carrier bus visit canceled as Mideast talks falter. Duh. No wonder they faltered. Every time the Jews agree to meet with them, they say, okay, you're meeting with us. We want you to disappear. We want you to turn over all your land and your gold. And then wonder why the Mideast talks faltered. GM chief facing lawmakers on defects. What is this? GM is a government-owned... Obama took over General Motors. Why is she being blamed? Mary T. Barra above is testifying before a House committee on flaws with the Chevrolet Volt Cobalt and failure by General Motors to correct them for more than a decade. Who would have bought a Chevrolet Cobalt or Volt? Anyway, what person would buy that? Moderation pays off for a far-right party in France. That's the way of the old women at the New York Times to say, don't worry, it's not so bad, even though the right wing is sweeping elections in France. What do you mean moderation has paid off? They're not moderate. They'd like to clean the country up and get rid of those who are destroying France and its culture. What's so moderate about that? Marine Le Pen has methodically softened the image of the National Front, positioning it to seize on widespread economic insecurity and anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim sentiment. Gee, I wonder why they have anti-Muslim sentiment. Could it be the people being beaten up in the streets by Muslims, such as the Jewish man who was beaten up with a swastika carved in his chest last week? Could it be the fact that most of the crime that is being committed in France is being committed by, let us say, special immigrant groups? Could it be that certain immigrant groups take advantage of the welfare system more than others? Could it be that the churches are emptying out and the mosques are filling up? Could it be that they're spitting on their culture, their borders, and their language? Couldn't be any of that that has made the far-right surge in France. Where is our far-right party? Show me where it is. The answer is it doesn't exist. If a Republican so much as steps off the left-wing party line, he's labeled as an extremist. And then Sheldon Adelson won't support him anymore. He's not welcome in Las Vegas. I've said to you, the only thing that could save America is a nationalist party. And I'm getting so agitated that I might just do it. You say, all right, it'll destroy the Republicans forever. It might. It might take 30 years to ever recover any kind of victory. But I swear to you, I am so agitated. Not by the Democrat machine. I know it's corrupt. I know it's a socialist gang. I know it's almost like a RICO. You almost need a RICO statute to bring down the Democrat National Committee. But it's not going to happen since they run the Justice Department. But... okay, bad enough. We know the Republicans are moderates. But that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about a party that represents my beliefs that the only thing that can save America is borders, language, and culture as a theme called the Nationalist Party. I'm getting so agitated, I'm thinking of it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
All right, here's a news story from WorldTribune.com, which is actually a good website. Unidentified forces kill Ukrainian nationalist Moscow called terrorist. Alexander Muzhiko, the leader of a right-wing nationalist political group in Ukraine, was gunned down on March 24 in the western Ukrainian city of Rivne. He was an extreme nationalist with an anti-Russian penchant, and someone killed him. Now, this is a fascinating story for a number of reasons. One, it shows you that no matter how many people he surrounded himself with, when a government opposes you, they're going to get you. That's number one. Number two, during the recent unrest in Ukraine, Muzhiko was known as an open critic of the interim government for its alleged impotence against Russian aggression in Crimea. What does that mean? It means he's probably killed by his own government in Ukraine. That's what I think. The Russians probably didn't even get to him. So wherever you turn, once you stand up and you want to be counted, all I can say to you is now you understand why they're all so moderate. Right? That's all. Moderation in all things leads to the death of a nation. That's right. Moderation leads to the death of a nation. How's that? How's that for a statement? Write it down.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
See, that's what I'm in the mood for. I wish it was 5 hours from now and I had two drinks in me already. Because I've had it already with politics. What sweet music. It really is beautiful. Singing in falsetto, no one does that anymore. The hosts on CNN talk in falsetto, but they're not faking it. Third place CNN's quarter one ratings were catastrophic. That's despite the fact that the left-wing fanatics at CNN went 24-7 on the missing plane, and they're so missing, they don't know what they're doing. Day and night, the missing plane, and no one can watch it anymore. CNN had a disastrous first quarter of 2014, third worst in its history. More snotty nonsense by chicks also lost viewers, while Fox and Savage Nation gained tremendously. Welcome to the program. I can't give you a figurative statement of what we are talking about. We talked about the slang word. I don't want to say it again because we'll get the same callers. But we're going to move forward now on other topics. In fact, at the end of the hour, I said that only a nationalist party can save America, like in France, Le Pen. The far-right party is sweeping elections, with the exception of Paris, where a socialist, feminist, anti-French person won. But that's, you know, Paris. It's very much Paris is sort of like San Francisco. They think they're so cool, when in fact they're out of touch with the rest of the universe. But nevertheless, France is moving to the far right. America would move to the far right if they could. If you had a choice at a booth to vote for a nationalist who believed in borders, language, and culture, you damn well know you would. The country would. See, this country is center right, and they're fed up with the immigration sweep. They're fed up with the diminution of our culture, the crime, the mayhem, the confusion. And they want someone to take control. A law and order man who talked about borders, language, and culture would be the big winner. That's my opinion. And I said to you, I'm getting so fed up with it, I'm tempted to create the party. Now, it's almost a futility in a way. I know that all it will do is suck votes from the Republicans and guarantee another election of another criminal from the Democrat Party. So that's what keeps me back. I could raise the money necessary to do it. I could probably raise $100 million in 90 days, by the way. You want me to tell you the truth? If I left radio and I said, I'm leaving radio at a certain date, I've had enough, I want to create the Nationalist Party, this is going to be my website, blah, 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 you want to donate, you want to contribute, I'd have $100 million in 90 days. I can guarantee it. There'd be some heavy rollers who would throw money at it. But I'm not doing it. Not going to do it, because I love radio too much. And as Mike Rogers said, he can have more influence on radio. He's 100% right with that. He's leaving Congress to become a talk show. So what's that about? Because he knows which way the wind blows. So I want to go back to two things. First, I want to take a call. Daniel on the internet, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, besides getting my news from you, I just go on YouTube, you know, because you really can't even believe anyone on the news these days. So, like, I pretty much go for actual video footage, and even that you got to watch out for, because
you mean to make up your own mind. Okay, I get it. We fall into that level that we have to go to YouTube for our news. Why not? It's as good as the New York Times. It's just as biased. A couple of years ago, I published a book which became a very big bestseller called Trickle Up Poverty. I don't know the year. A few years ago. It's in paperback. Harper Collins published it in 2010. In the back of the book, I had a Savage Manifesto on borders, language, culture, and economics. And it was my contract for saving America. The Savage Manifesto consisted of the following. And I want you to understand, as I read these to you, show me where the extremism is. Tell me if one thing that I say sounds extremist to you. One, and remember now, this is Michael Savage, Savage Nation. If I created the Nationalist Party, the credo would be borders, language, and culture, but the contract for America would consist of the following. One, English only. Make English the official language of the United States. Require all who immigrate to our country to begin immediately to learn English to qualify for the privilege of American citizenship. Eliminate all ballots except in the English language. You know, in San Francisco, they're in seven or eight languages. That's how the corrupt system keeps itself going. How do you think illegitimate, such as that running this city of San Francisco, can stay in power, but for the vote of the non-citizen? How do you think they do it? Two, close the borders. Use illegal aliens to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. Hire Sheriff Joe Arpaio to oversee the project. Pay the illegals for their labor in the form of a one-time worker fee. Upon finishing the wall, repatriate them. That's it. That would go over very well on CNN, Neil. That would be very popular. Three, defend the borders. Pull the troops out of Germany and South Korea where they're doing nothing and put them on our southern border where there's a real threat to our nation. Defending South Korea can be done with our ships and subs with their tactical nuclear weapons. It's logical. I'm not saying it's practical. Four, defund and repeal Obamacare. See, I wrote it in 2010. The others already, they invented it. Reduce the size and scope of government. Okay, everyone says that. So what's my actual plan? With the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction of size by 16% over 4 years. Require government employees to speak English and to have achieved at least a high school diploma. That would eliminate about 80% of those who work for Obama. Six, liquidate TARP. Most of you don't know what that means. Seven, oil for illegals. Mexico has what we need, oil, and we have something they don't want, their unemployed citizens. To offset this alien invasion, Mexico should pay one barrel of oil per month per illegal alien that sneaks into our country. Americans are also owed tens of billions of dollars in reparations from Mexico for the generous free health care, welfare, and ACLU care they've received for five decades. Have you heard anyone but Michael Savage talk about reparations from Mexico for the abuse of our tax base? No. Eight. Strike down the Anchor Babies Law. Even Canada, Socialist Canada, has eliminated the Anchor Babies Law. Eliminate the loophole in our law that encourages illegal immigrants to enter this country for the purpose of having anchor babies who are U.S. citizens simply because they happen to have been born in our hospitals. Nine, export jailed illegal aliens. Our federal, state, and local jails are overcrowded with 2.3 million inmates as of 2008. Of that number, 29% are illegal aliens. They don't even belong here. Yet we're paying an average of $29,000 a year to house, feed, clothe, and entertain them. Send them back to their country of origin. 10. Fire Janet Napolitano. Well, she's gone. She's ruining the University of California now. When she became too hot for Obama, they threw her out, and she took over the once greatest university system in America. 11. Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. The attempted terrorist plots on our own soil follow a definite pattern. All of these acts were carried out by radical Muslims, with rare exception. Shrewd police work requires common sense. If acts of terror repeatedly come from people who practice a certain religion, and if all these acts are in accord with some twisted notion of their holy book, prudent police work would dictate that we can immediately employ national, if not religious, profiling to stop the next terrorist before he or she succeeds. It may be offensive to you if you've been brainwashed in the universities, but it will prevent the next terrorist attack. What do you have there? Capture Obama? Oh, he's speaking now? Oh, the great one is about to speak. He's back from his failed tour of Europe. So he entertained the Boston White Sox or the Grecian Red Sox. And he's about to give a speech on the wonders of Obamacare. When I come back, I will continue to talk about the Savage Manifesto of Borders, Language, and Culture from my book, Trickle Up Poverty. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
On top. The more than 3 million young adults
got the Prez.
Gained Let's insurance the Prez. Under this law by staying on their families.
He's giving a big stump speech on how great Obamacare enrollment is. I don't hear it, Neil. Is it coming out over the air? I think we lost it. But I'm going to interrupt my program for the Nationalist Party to listen. Listen to the liar in chief, who just came back from a failed world tour.
With pre-existing conditions.
Oh, again, pre-existing conditions. Ah, shut up already. Stop with the socialized medicine, you and Fidel Castro. That's all you have on your minds.
A big step forward.
Oh, like Mao Zedong, a giant leap forward.
This law is bringing greater security to Americans who already have coverage.
Oh, don't leave any money on the table.
Because of the Affordable Care Act,
the same Americans invective.
Free preventive care like mammograms.
Ah, come on. Do you want to hear that or me? Complaints. I'm going to give you a choice, him or me. Does Biden use teeth whitener? I want to know. What kind of? I know he does something for that skin of his. Jill gave him some skin tips yesterday. Jill Biden.
Seniors have saved almost $10 billion.
Do you like the idea of a man who looks like a moron standing next to the president, smiling with white teeth? It makes me sick to think the country's been run by these two. What is he talking about? All of Mexico is now insured. All the way down to Guatemala.
Won't be driven into bankruptcy by a serious
and
illness.
When I get through, they'll be insured to the Tierra del Fuego.
Your insurer from placing dollar
okay,
limits
it's over.
On the
I don't want to hear another word of it. End of story. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to it. I can't listen to this man. You know, the longer I watch politicians, what amazes me is there's a word I'm seeking, their tenacity. Here's a man who failed at everything he's ever touched. Never held a job in a day in his life. Never created a product or service anybody ever needed. Lied his way to the top. He makes Slick Willie look like an honest man by comparison. A guy comes back from a world tour where he tried to get the Russians to go back to Russia. They laughed him. They laughed him off the world stage. Right away, bingo, ball players and Obamacare. And how he gets up there with such conviction, day in and day out, I don't know where they get it from. It's almost a demonic energy, I would think, that a politician has to have of this nature to lie his way through his life like this. Let's take some callers, okay? WJR in Detroit. Jan, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it is a great honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
I am a new listener to you. I wish I'd have found you a long time ago, but you're finally in a time slot that I end up hearing you now, and I'm so grateful for that because I actually used to listen to Mr. Hannity, which I never really liked him all that much, but I just like hearing a conservative political conversation, so I would occasionally tune into him, but you are so much better. And I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy you, and I share your opinions, your viewpoints, your values, and your sense of humor. I think you're wonderful, and one of my favorite things about you, a couple weeks ago, one of your callers had called, and the first thing he said was, "How are you?" And you were silent. And the man said, "Hello, am I here?" And you said, "Yes, I don't answer that question." And I just out loud in my car said,
"Well, because I grew up with a Russian grandmother who, if you asked her, 'How are you?' she was very cynical. She'd say, 'How should I be?' She wouldn't answer you. In other words, it didn't translate in her vernacular. What do you mean, 'How are you?' It's a ludicrous question. But particularly on radio, this is not a personal conversation in that regard.
Well, not only that, it's the politically correct question
But the thing is, people are nervous. They don't know what to say, Jan, so they always ask, "How are you?" And you say, "Oh, fine, and you, sir." To me, it's a waste of airspace.
It is. And
Jan, as a new listener, I'm going to send you a copy of one of my books, Stay in the Line. Free book goes out to you, probably Trickle Down Tyranny or Train Tracks. Let's go back to Obama. I can take him in small doses. Let's just listen in again. Let's see if he broke, like a broken
it's
record.
It's good for our economy, and it's good for our country.
No, it isn't! It's going to bust us!
Let me give you a sense of what this change
is. Oh, don't call up a person, Mary, now from somewhere, please.
Just give you a few examples.
Here's an example. Mary over there was uninsured.
From Solana
Mary had a condition that was preconditioned. Mary couldn't get insurance. But Mary never held a job in her life. Mary is a crack addict. Mary had six crack babies. Mary is now a model citizen because of Obamacare.
See, if you have a pre-existing condition,
okay,
like
that's
being a
the
cancer
end.
Survivor.
Off. Please. Please, if I thought of torture, if you ever wanted to torture me, you'd lock me in a chair and make me listen to an Obama speech for 24 hours, like a loop of Obama speeches. Let me continue with my plan to save America. Oil for illegals. We want reparations from Mexico for the generous health care, welfare, and ACLU care they've received for five decades. Strike down anchor babies law. Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. rewrite the rules of engagement. And while we're talking about troops, the reason they're committing suicide in such numbers, in my opinion, is because of the feminist takeover of the military and the absolute demoralization of the troops. They don't know what to do. They're told not to be warriors. They're told not to be men. And they don't know which way to turn. And many of them are given drugs by the evil doctors in the military, antidepressants. They wind up killing themselves. 14, save the SEALs. 15, reinforce the military infrastructure. 16, pay raise for the military personnel. I mean combat military. I don't mean the contractor military. 18, and this is a big one. Even Donald Trump agreed with me on this. Impose tariffs on China. We must draw a line in the sand with regard to China in order to loosen their stranglehold on our economy by imposing a 20% tariff on all goods produced in China. That tariff should be raised by 5% each year that China refuses to revalue its currency. 20, institute a flat tax. That's still a great idea. Simplify the tax code, and it will eliminate the unfair practice of tax discrimination, where 50% of U.S. households pay no federal income tax whatsoever. And I say all Americans above the poverty level should pay the same percentage of income tax, a straight 15% across the board for individual earners. And here's a real big one. 21, keep the estate tax at zero. Zero. George Bush was right to eliminate the so-called death tax. Do you know what it means? Do you realize if, let's say, you worked your whole life and you want to give your child your business or your farm or your house, do you know that the criminal government will take 50% of that house, that farm, or that business in taxes, even though you've already paid taxes on it? That's tax on taxes. And, of course, in under Obama, the tax jumped to 55%. 55% under Obama, under this communist regime. Reduce pay and pensions for civil servants. Civil servants are now the most protected class in the United States of America. Reduce pay and pensions for all civil servants across the board. Defend the DOA, the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Defend traditional marriage. Encourage childbearing among tax-paying citizens. I actually call for a marriage incentive through lower taxes for married heterosexual couples and a tax credit for each child conceived and carried to birth. What's wrong with that idea?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Got the word out. And our, we didn't make a hard sell. We didn't have...
All right, here he is again.
Millions of dollars of...
Okay, turn him off. Came back from a failed world tour. And he's again like a pitch man selling socialized medicine with, you know, rigged numbers. I want to talk about something else. I'll finish reading my manifesto maybe at another time. I gave you of my 17-point plan, 17, excuse me. It's a 37-point plan of the Nationalist Party. It ends with run the country like a business, not an empire. See, that's good writing. I mean, I admit that I don't think as clearly as most fine liberals on medication. But since I'm an unmedicated PhD, two master's degrees, author of 30 books, I do the best I can. I realize that I don't speak Ebonics, but I do my best to try and still think as best I can in my own simple way. I mean, we cannot blame President Obama for the entire economic mess that we're in, I write. However, as any homeowner knows, if you have $100,000 in debt at the end of the year, you don't eliminate that $100,000 debt by incurring $300,000 in additional debt, which your children have to pay for. That's what Obama did. Instead, you pay down that debt by cutting unnecessary expenses. Maybe you have fewer vacations. Tell that to Michelle Obama. You drive one car rather than Air Force 1, 2, and 3. You eat out less often rather than having a banquet every second for rap stars with tattoos on their souls. See, that's known as belt tightening, ladies and gentlemen, a simple principle that bureaucrats can't seem to grasp. So those are some of the points, and I have many others in the book, which I'll read at another time so you can get refamiliarized with them. But I want to go to an incendiary news story, which is the release of Jonathan Pollard. I totally oppose it. Jonathan Pollard is a spy who probably should have been executed. And yet we're reading now, which is shocking, by the way, that the Israelis, for reasons I can never understand, are bargaining with Obama, or whoever they're negotiating with. They're bargaining with the Obama administration, in either case, to capitulate with the Israel-Palestinian issue on a new so-called agreement if the U.S. releases Pollard. Why would Netanyahu want Pollard released? Can anyone explain that? It makes no sense to me. You say, well, he's a good spy. He isn't. He was an evil SOB. He was a dangerous, evil SOB, a criminal, a bum of the lowest order, and a greedy one at that. And the former spies who knew Pollard will tell you why. Freeing Pollard while pursuing Snowden sends a mixed signal, they say. And the former top prosecutor who won Pollard's conviction, Joseph DeGenova, said, how do you release him after Snowden? After all, do you know what Pollard did? Many of you Jewish people listening to the show in New York think Pollard was an innocent victim and that he was only stealing documents to help an ally. That's a complete lie. The FBI and Naval Criminal Investigative Service reported that Pollard sold to Israeli agents numerous documents for more than $600,000 beginning in the mid-'80s until his 1985 arrest. ABC News, who's looked into this, said that he forked over 360 cubic feet of documents pertained to much more than Israel and included secrets about U.S. intelligence capabilities that made it into the hands of spies in Russia, South Africa, and other countries. DeGenova told ABC News the following. He said, nobody who has seen the classified damage assessment thinks Pollard ought to be freed. I'll continue what he said. Much of what Pollard, much of what Pollard stole, contrary to what he'd have you believe, had nothing to do with Arab countries or the security of Israel, but had everything to do with U.S. collection methods, to include most specifically against the Soviet Union, said retired Navy Admiral Thomas Brooks, the former director of Naval Intelligence. Pollard worked under Brooks in 1980. A spokesmouth for the State Department told reporters today that President Obama has not made a decision about whether to release Pollard. Now, you got to compare what Pollard did to Snowden. If you're going to release Pollard, why don't you let Snowden come home? First of all, they also argue, by the way, that bargaining for Jonathan Pollard's release, even as the administration pursues its indictment of Snowden, who has political asylum in Russia, sends a mixed signal for sure. By the way, that's true. Because much like Snowden, Pollard stole over 1 million highly classified documents, all paper, which would fill a room. Now, this is the last point on this, and I'd like you to call on it. Do you think Pollard should be released? 855-407-2821-Y. Do you think Jonathan Pollard should be released? I don't. I oppose it. Here's why. The Israelis had access to secret-level intelligence from us, but they were asking Pollard for top-secret material, says a retired senior FBI national security lawyer and naval intelligence officer involved in the Pollard damage assessment told ABC News. And this is when we really had an FBI and really had naval intelligence before it became at arms of domestic spies. Now, Pollard himself says he never intended to violate the laws, blah, blah, blah. And he's been eligible for parole for almost 20 years but has never asked for it because parole would bar him from moving to Israel. I oppose parole for Pollard for two reasons. One, he committed grievous harm to the American intelligence community and to America itself, from which I think we've never recovered. And two, it will increase enmity towards Jewish people and Israelis if people think that he was given special privilege in this release. That's one man's opinion. And I would take your calls on this if you even know what I'm talking about. It's a rather obscure topic, I understand that. But I think it's an important one, 855-47282. Don't even know who he is. You probably think I'm talking about a type of fish, a pollard fish. Pollard. Pollard is a type of Italian word for... Pollard is an Italian slang for a person who looks like a fish but sounds like a human. A pollard. You look like a pollard. No, it's an actual spy. Let's see what else is in the news. I got to go on, my next break, I got to go on flight.com, whatever, flightseeker.com and see where they are. Still flying, oh, it's awful. First to Houston, then on the east, and then Caribbean. I'm sitting here. I can't take it. Again, I can't imagine it, changing a plane in Houston, getting off, getting on, getting a sandwich, a pizza, making believe it doesn't matter, 2 hours. I'm sorry to announce the delay of the 4 hours because of the storm. I have no patience for that. Even if private jet, I hate. I hate flying anything. I've gone private. I've gone public. I've gone by mule. I've gone by Mercedes. I've gone by Bentley, and I've gone by foot, and I don't like traveling anywhere, anytime, for any reason, at all, ever. I don't. I just don't enjoy it. To me, I'm not a travel bug. I had enough of it when I was young. 85, is he still talking? Please tell me he isn't. Oh, thank God. It's over? How do they take themselves? How do they take it? And that Biden with those teeth? I wonder what he uses for teeth whitener to go with his good skin. Ask Jill. No calls on Pollard? Eric, not one call. Shows you the audience. They never heard of him. They thought Pollard was a type of seafood. Fish. A type of food. All right, well. WFTL, Jenny, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello.
Yes, Jenny, you're on the radio. Fire away.
Okay, I'm the second member of the Nationalist Party. And I think our first activity should be to adapt your manifesto as our platform.
Yes, I could make my manifesto, I could make my platform borders, language, and culture and probably win enormous attention from the American people who are so fed up with both parties. They would leap to join into this.
I'm just so distressed over what's happened to our beloved country.
Correct, correct. All the men died for what? So criminals and perverts could take over the entire nation?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I could have modified what I just said. I don't even have the words to modify it. Criminals and perverts seem to have taken over every aspect of our culture and government.
Absolutely.
Am I wrong in saying that criminals and perverts have taken over every aspect of our culture and society?
It just makes me sick.
What can I say? That's what Eddie stormed the beaches of Normandy for? To take a look at what's going on in this country? For the imposter in the White House to win. That's what he gave his life, throwing himself on a hand grenade. So that these clowns and crooks could take over the country. Go ahead, tell me that's what he sacrificed his life for. Or maybe I have too much history in my head. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I haven't sufficiently cleansed my brain of the past in order to live in the present and go forward into the future. Maybe that's my problem, is my memory is too vast. My education is too wide. My love of the country is too great. I admit that may be the deficits today that condemn me to such a viewpoint. I get it. I'm not going to ask you to comment on it. I know many of you will call on this. I get it. What would you like to talk about? Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. James, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm a longtime listener and young conservative from San Francisco. I'm also a prospective law school student. You know, I actually schedule my time for studying between the LSAT to listen to your show. To your earlier...
That's funny. They still require LSATs to get into law school? Isn't that racist?
You know...
Well, I think it's very elitist to require a law student to know the law. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, if you require a law student to know the law, I mean, unto itself, that's kind of elitist and racist, don't you think?
They actually test what they believe are proper aptitudes to succeed in law school.
That's right. Take a look at what's a lawyer today. Have you seen what comes out of law school? They can't speak English. I love that they have them on television now. Everyone has a law degree from somewhere. They can't speak. They can't write. They can't read. They speak in broken slang, and they're lawyers now.
You know, undocumented aliens can actually practice law in California, which...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's very... Isn't that very progressive? How else are you going to get support and advice for illegal aliens than by permitting their mothers and fathers to become undocumented lawyers? See, I think that we should eliminate the law degree altogether and law licenses and let anyone be a lawyer, the way it was in the old days. In other words, anyone could get up and become a lawyer now. That would be more fair. That would eliminate the unfairness in the legal profession. Because right now it's limited to basically to white women and white men, by and large. I mean, they just have tokens in the law profession other than that. And so, I mean, you really want to open the profession up. I think you should eliminate the law degree And I think law books should be burned. See, this is the crux of the matter. The law books themselves are the white man's tricks. And unless you have a bonfire burning all of the canons of law, you're never going to have equity and fairness in the legal profession. The first thing that the fairness folks should do is burn all the law libraries to the ground. And then you can start from scratch and write the laws any way you like them. And, of course, the laws would be written to make them more fair and equitable. And then you wouldn't have a whiteness law. You'd have a law that's more believing in humanity and all holding hands and dancing together in fairness. Okay, you realize I'm just doing a Jonathan Swift-like parody here. How else do I get it out of my system, James? You know that I was just kidding, right?
Well, you know, that's pretty intense. It makes me feel... I do believe change, and not the Obama whitewash change, but actual change can occur through opposition values.
Yeah, how many decades will it take to undo the damage this man has done to this country? This man has done more damage in the years he's been in power than the previous three presidencies combined. Economically, socially, militarily. You name it, the man has done more damage and he's got three more years to go. I'm not as optimistic as you are. I think impeachment is required to stop him in his tracks before he destroys the whole country. Obama is like a child, a curious child, who takes apart a watch and then can't put it back together again. He's very good at taking things apart, and then he can't put the thing back together again. 855-407-2822. I'm through with my parody of the day. I have to break. I'm seeing hands across the glass. I have to tell you, I have a new Skype system, and I don't know whether I like it or I hate it. They could see me and Teddy, and I could see Neil. Now Neil has to put on outfits. Eric has to wear new shirts every day. He's smiling there. I could see them eating, drinking. I'm wearing a special Skype hat so they could see me. It's actually, the hat is like a Borsellino to go with the Gumar thing, the Goomba thing. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's some news that should make your day. Lesbian-only cemetery to open in Germany. A Berlin cemetery, elderly lesbians agreed to dedicate a portion of the ground, room for 80 burial plots for lesbians only. The cemetery for lesbians will be in the 200-year-old Lutheran Georgian Parochial Cemetery. Is intended to be a place, quote, where the lesbian community can live together in the afterlife. I have no comment at all, other than to say it's Germany. What'd you expect? On the Pollard question, Sam on WABC, welcome. Sam, you are in favor of releasing Pollard. Why?
I'm not in favor of releasing Pollard. First, I just want to congratulate you on getting the power spot in New York. There couldn't be a better talk show host to have the spot, and I hope your ratings go higher and higher. That being said, I love your show.
Hold it. That was a lot. You said a lot. I'm number one on WABC already. You can't get much higher, but thank you.
Well, you took over the real process. You know, you got the real spot. I've been to
All right. It is. It's the most powerful station in the city. And as I say, my show was number one of the talk shows. And no one can argue with the facts. So which side do you want? Should Pollard be paroled or not?
Well, let me just say, I've been to Mr. Powell numerous times. I've been involved in trying to help him get released. There are many in Israel and in America, Jewish people who are not in favor of Mr. Powell being released in a prisoner swap to release hundreds of murderous Muslim terrorists who all have blood on their hands, and many of them were Southern Wives sentences in Israel. This includes Mr. Powell himself, who said many times that he would not be interested in being released in return for... Terrorist being released.
Here's what I'm worried about. First of all, he's a known spy who damaged the United States security interests. Forget Israel. And now we have a case of what, release Pollard, but continue to persecute Snowden? Doesn't that seem like crazy to you?
My question is, I've been to Jonathan Pollard in jail. And when you're there, there's a Navy intelligence officer sitting there. And I have never been told what he has done wrong. And I'm just curious if you can enlighten me after dealing with the case for many years. Can you tell me what he did? Because you say he damaged. I agree he did damage. He damaged.
Right, wait a minute. He stole classified information. That's a violation of the law unto itself. I don't have the documents. But so did Sandy Berger. Why is he not in jail?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage. We'll be right back.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the program. At the end of the last hour, I stumbled upon a new topic, which was the release of Jonathan Pollard. Now, I realize many of you don't know who Pollard is. It's an old story, but he's an American spy. He was caught spying allegedly only for Israel, but the many reams of data that he stole went in the hands of our most dire adversaries at the time, including Russia. So he caused grave damage to the American national security team, probably also exposing some American spies. I don't know if that's true, but I would think so. And this is going to be a big deal because it's going to come up very soon, where U.S. and Israel are now trying to come up with a new agreement on the release of Pollard, in exchange for which Netanyahu, I guess, would give up portions of Israeli territory. I don't really know what he's going to give up. But many former spies are very, very deeply angered by this deal, releasing Pollard the spy. I've come out saying I oppose his release for a couple of reasons. One, he committed a grave crime for which I think he should have been executed. That's number one. And number two, if you're going to release Pollard, then why don't you relieve Snowden of all accusations against him right now? I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, so to speak. So that's number two. And number three, I think this will do grave damage to Jewish people and Israel in the body politic of America and the West in general, because people are going to say, there we go, it's the Zionists again pulling strings. Here they could even get a spy released if they want. That's what's going to be said. I don't care whether you want to hear it or don't. And one thing about my show is I unmask what's really going on and express it to you the way your grandfather or father or uncle would have said it to you. And I don't mince words. I don't varnish the truth. I don't put stucco over it. And that's what I think. What do you think? What's your opinion? What's your opinion? I think it's a very big topic. WBAP in the Dallas. It's in Dallas. It's in Dallas. It's in Dallas. Bill in Dallas. I'm BAP. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir. What would you do with Pollard?
I think we should stand him up against the wall and shoot him.
See that? That's the other side of the story. I mean, I don't understand how you say he served his time. He committed a very violent offense against American national security interests, Bill.
That is very true. At least from what I've been able to put together. I'm a former P-3 sailor, and when we were serving over in Greece and Crete, the leftists over there started coming after the P-3 air crews. They didn't come after anybody else. They came after the P-3 air crews because the electronic surveillance that we could do at the time. And that was released by Pollard.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So he put your lives at risk.
We should stand that guy up against the wall and shoot him.
Thank you. All right, there's an opinion. You wouldn't hear that from Anderson Cooper or Matchell Madcow. Matchell Madcow wouldn't say a thing like that. Or Anderson Blooper wouldn't say a thing like that. It would offend his sense of his sartorial sense. How else do you make $11 million a year with no ratings? You have a sartorial sense and you're a member of a certain group. It's like the Chevy Volt. I mean, people are forced to buy them. It's the same as Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper is the Chevy Volt of cable news. It looks cute, but it doesn't go anywhere. It looks cute, but it doesn't go anywhere. Where does Biden, where do you think he goes to have his teeth whitened? He stands there like a fool, laughing behind, smiling, like they're like pitchmen. Well, all presidents are pitchmen of one thing or another. So Obama comes back from a failed world tour, has baseball players in the White House, then he gives a pitch on the 7 million. No one knows where the numbers came from. And there's Biden behind him with the perfect skin. We know where that came from. Yesterday he disclosed it. Imagine a vice president going on a chick show and saying that his skin is the result of a certain skin cream that his wife tells him to use, that he always listens to Jill. Today, though, I'm wondering about his teeth. Where they? How do they? I wouldn't use a tooth whitener if you paid me. I don't understand it. Where is it written that man's teeth should be totally... I didn't say yellow. I didn't say cigarette stain. I don't know a culture where a tooth is like a glowing white like that, other than on Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. In fact, I think that Joe Biden could probably do a show called Real House Frows, Real House whatever. The man, you speak German, don't you, Neil? How do you call a husband? House, what? Hausmann, Hausmann, A.E. Hausmann. Real Hausmanns of Washington, D.C., run by Joseph Biden, make an honest living. He could give his tips in the bathroom on tooth whitening, skin care. You do? Okay, play this, because people think I'm making this up. Let me hear this one.
You have the most glowing, perfect skin of any person I've ever seen. I really want to know what moisturizer you use. I love moisturizers. My husband is a moisturizer as well. Would you tell me what moisturizer you use?
Well, on Jill's instructions about 5 years ago, she said I should use Clinique. And there's a men's Clinique that has a SPF 20. She was worried about my face. So I do whatever Jill tells me.
I'm speechless that we have such a fool in this. Right? His finger's one away from the football. How can this country survive? You've got an imposter in the White House and a dummy, and a dummy is number two. They don't run anything. They're figureheads. It's the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, one of which is now still in China, enjoying dim sum somewhere where you can't see. I mean, why is she not back yet? How much can she take on a spring break? She's not bored yet? 855-407-2282 is the Savage Nation. Pollard came up. Now it's going to be it's going to be talked about, I think, over and over again. You're not going to hear me talk about Obamacare. I can't do it. No. No, Siri Bob. Did you hear that your Defense Department is looking to ban tobacco sales at military installations and sodas because it's bad for the troops? What a dummy. Who is this man who's running the military? Where'd they get this guy from? Hagel the Bagel? Why doesn't he ban bagels from military bases? He could argue that bagels are bad for your health, too. That they're white bread, there's a hole in them, which could... you could argue that the bagel should be banned on military installations on the following basis. A, it's made of white bread. B, the hole in the middle could set off psychic damage in troops about to be deployed for fear that they may get shot. That the hole could trigger some psychological fear that they'll be shot. And that a bagel, therefore, should be banned. That would make as much sense as banning tobacco. But this doesn't stop the march of the leftists. Everything that someone wants is their business. A soda is no good, but Adderall for children is very good. Defense Secretary looking at banning tobacco sales at military. What a moron. As the Navy says banning tobacco, how could you ban a tobacco? You know what they did in the prisons, don't you? You know why they banned smoking in prisons? To put them on drugs. It's all of the drug lobby, idiots. A prisoner has very little to live for, very little recreation, so a man like a cigarette. Okay, I could see creating, let us say, segregated smoking cells and non-smoking cells. You can do it that way. They have segregated based on gay and straight. They're protected cells, don't they? So, all right, you want to be in the smoking section, I can understand it. But if a man's behind bars for X amount of time and he wants a cigarette, you take that drug away from him, what do you think they put them on? Expensive, criminal, mind-bending drugs. Courtesy of your friends in the military, industrial, prison, pharmaceutical, medical complex. I've expanded it from Beware the Media. I can keep adding to it. I mean, because it gets worse and worse. It's all one seamless interaction. What is this now? Another Pollard call? KSFO, Ed, where do you stand on the Pollard issue? Welcome to the program. What's your point?
What he did, but I have some interesting information about his case. As he was being arrested, he was attempting to flee into the Israeli embassy and was arrested. Well, they wouldn't let him in. They closed the gates. And I'm aware of this because I had a top secret security clearance for my job.
Oh, you were an FBI agent at the time? You were one of the arresting agents?
No. The arresting agent was giving our group a presentation of the Pollard case.
It was okay, and you can't divulge anymore. I get it. And what else did you glean from that?
Well, of course, the Israelis knew all about what he was doing because they were on the receiving end, and obviously they didn't want anything to do with him then. So it's kind of shocking and question begging. Why do they?
Why now? Why is Netanyahu willing to put the security of Israel online for Pollard. Who is Pollard's greatest supporters?
I have no idea, but he...
Is it the Orthodox Jewish community pressuring Netanyahu? Is that it?
It could be.
Is he a religious Jew or what? Or just an ordinary version?
I really don't know, but the details of how much he hauled off was astounding.
Astounding. Cartons of it. Cartons of it. Obama administration confirms we may free Israeli spy to save peace talks. White House taking second look at releasing Israel's most notorious spy. And one of the things they're going to do is release convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard. Possible release is now on a list of items being discussed between Kerry and Netanyahu. Bibi. I don't like the word Bibi. It diminishes the man's stature, Bibi. But, and nevertheless, I don't understand this. The release would sweeten the pot for Netanyahu, who is being asked to release even more Palestinian prisoners as part of the deal to extend negotiations. Why would the Israelis keep releasing child murderers and get nothing for it? Can you explain that to me? Are the Israelis now suicidal? It's like a Stockholm syndrome. They release Palestinian murderers who immediately go back to killing their children, and they do it again. I don't know. World politics and I don't know. And I don't know who could take that job anymore, by the way. See, this is why evil always wins. At the end of the day, the evil people have an animus and a passion for their calling that exceeds that of those who do good. And there's almost no end to their evil doing, and their willfulness to do evil and destroy things is almost limitless. You could put it in the biblical phrase, I don't want to get into the devil versus the angel, good and evil, but it borders on that, or let's say it begs that question. He'll rip steel for Israeli spy. Well, it's going to be a big deal. Will Obama surrender the Israeli spy? That's another big deal. You mark my words. I did it today. You're going to hear about it over the next few days. Meanwhile, I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey. You know, last I told you, one of my favorite channels is called Military History, which, of course, the idiots changed to Heroes Channel. Is afraid of the word military might turn the women off. And I was watching one of the great battles of Korea, the reservoir, the Chosin Reservoir, where the American troops are outnumbered like 6,000 to 80 people or something. I couldn't believe the horrors that the men went through at that battle. And then I wake up and I read about white privilege conferences where they say whites are never cured of racism. And these psychopaths have taken over the educational establishment, mainly at places like Harvard, Madison, Wisconsin, the University of California. The sick people, the mentally ill, sick people who in my day would have been in mental hospitals now have PhDs in critical whiteness studies. There's actually a field called critical whiteness studies. I'm not making this up. And they go into the universities, either in that women's studies, minority studies, ethnic studies, and then they promulgate the same stupidity that they learned. And then they tell you that they're academic geniuses. And I look at the guys who fought and they died, and I say, would they have fought and died at Anzio, at Okinawa, at D-Day, if they knew that this man was president and this kind of low-level slime had crept into our institutions of lower living? What would they have died for? What? What would they have given their life for? And I mean, you see, this is what you got to understand, the geography of my mind is different than yours. I look at the world through my lens. And my lens sees the world in a different way than most people in America do today. In some ways, and I'm not from that generation, I'm much younger than the guys who fought in Korea, but I got to tell you, I was listening to some of the survivors, the heroes, and I was saying to my son, I said, you know, I'll bet to my audience I sound like a lot of these old guys and how they viewed America and how I view America and why it resonates with so many millions of Americans, because wherever they turn, they see these low-life degenerates who got degrees in critical whiteness studies or talking about white racism, hating Christians, hating whites, hating the church, hating family, hating mother, hating father, hating police, loving criminals, loving communists, loving Islamists. And they don't know which way to turn anymore. They don't know what country they're living in. He said, well, you're probably right, but what are you going to do? But keep on doing what you're doing. I'm proud of your work ethic, Dad. I mean, that was his birthday present. when he said that he's proud of my, you know, work ethic, which it is. I do it for basically as a role model. Now, I looked at websites today to say, what the heck has this country come to that you can't even find news on most websites anymore? And you go and you look at them. And today I was going to review some of the ridiculous news covered around the world. And I was going to ask you, which websites do you go for news? Are there any TV networks that you trust? Like Hillary Clinton's favorite TV network is allegedly Al Jazeera. She said, now that Al Jazeera, now that's a news channel. Do you read newspapers anymore? Which ones? Do you read news magazines? I mean, that's like reading the Gutenberg Bible. Do you still read books? And which was, no, I can't do that because I know they're going to call up with some books I don't even want to hear about. So you go to the websites. I'm going to give you an example of kind of garbage that people are looking. They say they're stunned. The New York Post used to be, okay, it was always a tabloid. But it had news, not anymore. Headline, Farrell's happy becomes unlikely protest anthem. I don't know who he is. The ugly daughter of a foul-mouthed man named Baldwin goes to the New York Post and stretches out on a desk, and she gets a full-page coverage. What a PR agent she must have. It must be better than Glenn Beck's PR agent. Then I read, Houston Rockets taunted server with anti-gay slurs. Again, gay slur, anti-gay slur. Gay slur, anti-gay slur. Day and night. Slur, bully, bully, bully. Let me tell you something. When you hear the word bullying, you know you're being bullied. Whoever uses the word bully most often is bullying you. Then they show you celebrity siblings take fame. Star snaps of the day. Lady Gaga wears this. No news. I don't understand what happened to the New York Post. I don't understand it. All right, so you go to another site. Let's try another one. Let's give another one a fair shot. That you may go to. Let's go in the San Francisco area, my hometown that I love to bash. Here's the headline. Dancers block Google bus. That's the latest thing. The young people who are working for Google are doing well because they're smart and they got a good job. So the losers in the city who have no jobs and who live off public assistance object to the company's use of buses to take young workers to their jobs down in Silicon Valley. That's their problem. The losers block a bus.
Congress and the administration pressure them to do that? Not so much pressure them, but if we declare sanctions of a certain kind with their companies and corporations, obviously it would inhibit their way to do business, their ability to do business there. I know that that's a tough call, and I know that we don't want to hurt our own economy, but what are the consequences of Vladimir Putin just being able to act in a way that... And by the way, these kinds of sanctions you're talking about would only be if he went much further.
Right.
Would only be considered if
right.
he went much further.
All right. The crackpot warmonger John McCain is at it again, saying that the United States government should force American companies to leave Russia. That would include General Electric, PepsiCo, ExxonMobil, Ford. All have huge investments in Russia, but the moron McCain, who's never run a business nor created a product that anyone wants, says that the government should force American companies to leave Russia. How's that for a free market Republican? Call me. What can you say on a thing like that? I mean, the man is a crackpot. He doesn't belong in Congress. He belongs in a mental hospital. What I'd like to do now is just read some headlines that caught my eye as well. Schwarzenegger, a box office dud after third straight film flop. Sad but true. The Popeye forearms are still there. And the biceps are still bulging, but Arnold Schwarzenegger, a pair, is no longer able to carry a Hollywood movie to box office success these days. The 66-year-old former California governor's latest effort, Sabotage, was a huge clunker at the box office, producing just 5.3 million ticket sales in its opening weekend. Who wrote this? Post staff report, New York Post staff report. It was a number 7 showing. Now remember, Schwarzenegger was in 23 films. And he helped sell more than $1.5 billion in U.S. tickets. But that was a long time ago. Terminator, True Lies, decades ago. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that the reviews were bad, it's that he's old. And Hollywood is no country for old men. It's the same with other great once action stars, such as, do I have to mention them? Because it's kind of sad, but I will. What about Steven Seagal? He used to be great in the 80s, remember? How he'd break people's arms backwards. He looks like a lumbering monster right now. And the hair, you know, the hair transplants on the two of them in the front. I mean, come on, you look right through those things. Who wants to go see an old man pretending to be a young man? And so if you've used your body all your life and it's worked for you, God bless you. But let me tell you something. After a certain age, your body doesn't carry you very far. And then you have to revert to your mind. And since many of you have no minds to revert to, you can't get into talk radio no matter how you try. But for those of us who've never had to use our bodies because we couldn't when we were younger, and were forced to use our brains and our grit to get where we are, getting older is actually a wonderful thing because we can go on doing this forever so long as our brains comply. Our muscles mean nothing. No comment on that. There's nothing that you could say. Apparently people like the movie Noah. I don't know. I'm not going to go see it. I wouldn't even watch a child's movie. And what else do we have? I'm not going to read the movies to you. Last Stand from Lionsgate had an opening week. I don't know what that is. Escape Plan from Lionsgate, blah, blah, blah. $9 million weekend. What's with the weekend? I'm supposed to worry about the weekend for Hollywood? Well, I'm just giving an example. Here are the headlines. De Blasio booed by Mets fans during first pitch. U.S. warns of potentially fatal Dominican plastic surgeries. Pilot's final words for missing jet was actually routine sign-off. Schwarzenegger a box office dud after third straight film flop. I mean, would you read any further? Ex-porn star dropped from suit against Match.com. Okay. So let's go to another website to show you how bad the world has become. Let's go to the West Coast now. Local town among U.S. best. How much water should you drink per day? Noisy electrical storm rolls in. Retracing dad, Joanne Allman. Researches the life of her rock star father who died when she was two. Can you believe this is on a website in a city? Stiletto heel stabbing horror show. Houston woman tried for murder in the mutilation death of a professor boyfriend. Okay, we'll go to another website that I used to go to. Next, talk of reviving affirmative action at UC's ignites furor. This is an interesting story because the criminal gang called the Democrats are trying to pass a measure in the state of California to overturn the ban on affirmative action. In other words, they like illegal aliens and morons to be moved ahead based upon skin color and non-citizen status. Take a guess who's opposing it. Certainly not the Republicans, because there are none. Why? Asian Americans are opposing affirmative action. Why? Because they actually work very hard to achieve high grades. And Asian Americans in California, who are largely Democrat, fear their Asian children could lose access to the state's universities if more places were granted to dumb students from other minority groups. And so the sudden opposition from the Asian American community has caused unusual friction among the Capitol Hill's ruling criminal Democrats as so-called criminal makers differ over how to control the fallout. Several legislators cited hard feelings among the party's Latino, African-American, and Asian-Americans. Gee, I wonder why. State Senator Holly Mitchell, Democrat Los Angeles, chairwoman of the Legislative Black Caucus, which makes my flesh crawl when I hear it, said she had deep concerns about how some of her colleagues backed off the legislation. And so now, as you can understand, not all minorities are equal. Some minorities are more equal than others. And although Asians make up 14% of California's population, Asian Americans were 30% of the University of California's total enrollment. Why? Because they got in based on grades, not upon their race. But that's not good enough for those of races who can't, let us say, cut the mustard, as we used to say in my day. Those who can't cut the mustard want to force race back into the debate. And thank God for those of us who understand that without quality, there can be no equality. The Asian Americans have stopped in its tracks an attempt to put affirmative action back into the state of California. If you'd like to comment on that, I don't blame you. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I got to say it because if I don't, who will? Thank you very much for making the show such a huge hit in this country. It's a new show. It only started January 1st. And as you well know, I'm not going to bash him, but Michael Savage continues his domination over Sean Hannity, sweeping in four of the five top markets. In New York City on WABC, I over doubled his ratings. In San Francisco, tripled his ratings on KSFO. Chicago, over four times his ratings in Chicago on WLS. And in Dallas, WBAP, I have a 1.3 to a 0.5 share of Savage Nation versus Hannity. So the numbers speak for themselves. It's building from the ground up. Although I've been on radio 20 years this year, I've not been in this time slot and on these stations. So you have to understand, I started a new business at this time, and it's doing great. Thank you very much. He divides the country and unites the world against us. His reign of error can't end soon enough, said Michael Goodwin in the New York Post this weekend. That was a good column. He divides the country and unites the world against us. His reign of error can't end soon enough. We're on the brink of World War I all over again. Same, almost identical. It's like the same exact insanity is occurring. Big nations being pushed into war by small nations. Ego contests between leaders. A war nobody wanted led to the deaths of millions. And history is repeating itself in so many ways that it's strange. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction in so many ways. And in the midst of all of it, there's a vacuum of leadership. We have no leadership in America, nothing but con men and con women. Two parties in business only for themselves, not for the American people or for the nation itself. That's what we all feel. And to top it off, House Republicans collaborate with left-wing interests against conservatives. Next weekend, John Boehner, Eric Cantor, Kevin McCarthy, and 25 other members of Congress are flying to Amelia Island to collaborate with a group dedicated to defeating conservatives in Congress. The Republican Main Street Partnership's offshoot called Main Street Advocacy is hosting the event at the Ritz-Carlton on Amelia Island. Now listen carefully. Steve LaTourette, a liberal Republican and former congressman from Ohio, is the face in front of the group. LaTourette is a good friend with John Boehner. Now behind the scenes, LaTourette's group is funded by the vast left-wing conspiracy. Do you know how? Well, they report that LaTourette's group has received money from left-leaning unions, George Soros' back organizations, and a major Democrat donor. But that is not stopping Boehner and the other turncoats, if you want to call them that, Cantor, McCarthy, and the others, from getting together with this left-wing group to attack the Tea Party. The advocacy group says that they want to, in the words of their backers, quote, bolster our incumbents, that would be the Republican establishment, who are under attack from the, quote, far right, meaning the real Americans, and ensure that we hold on to seats represented by pragmatic Republicans that we would otherwise lose if there was an ultra-conservative in the general runoff. Now, that's insane. It's a complete lie. The group claims to be conservative and to support Republicans, but it's funded by LaTourette. LaTourette himself has a long history of attacking conservatives and trying to defeat conservatives. It does not stop the mainstream Republican Party from collaborating with the very left-wing donors intent on defeating not just conservatives, but Republicans themselves. And that's why America's in such trouble, because Boehner, Cantor, and McCarthy cannot see beyond their own noses. 855-400-7282 on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282 is the phone into the number. Be right back.
As a baseball fan, I appreciate their comeback season. But more importantly, as president, I'm grateful for their character and their embrace of the essential role they played in the spirit of that city. You know, sometimes sports seems like it's trivial.
Yes,
it's just
it
entertainment.
Is. Yeah, that's all
and
it is.
And every once in a while...
Yeah. All right, get him off the show. Turn it off. I can't stand it. The man comes back from getting slapped around by Putin, getting pushed around by every world leader, laughed at behind his back, and what does he do? He invites a bunch of baseball players to the White House. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of him. The country's in hell because of him. He's united the world against us and divided us against each other. What could be worse? Well, wait, you'll see what'll be worse. How much attention can you pay to this after a while without going crazy? The phone number is 855-400-7282. Here's a news story, some red meat going at you. Here is some red meat going your way. The Chinese are acquiring large chunks of land and communities all over America. So the first thing I say is, wait a minute. Should limits be placed on foreign ownership of United States land, farms, and factories? The answer is, of course, schmuck. If you lived in a sane nation that wasn't sold out to every racketeer in the world, of course we would limit foreign ownership of U.S. land, farms, and factories. The Chinese are buying up our factories. The Chinese are buying up our farmlands. The Chinese are buying up our housing projects. The Chinese are buying up our movie chains. The Chinese are buying up our food manufacturing companies. And, of course, an example is Smithfield Foods. They purchased Smithfield Foods, and they suddenly own 460 large farms, and the Chinese became the top employer in dozens of communities all over the U.S. Now, they happen to be the largest pork producer and processor in the world. They have facilities in 26 U.S. states. They employ tens of thousands of Americans. They own 460 farms. They have contracts with 2,100 other farms. But now a Chinese company, which bought it for $4.7 billion, are now owning a huge aspect of rural America. How is that possible? Because we have a government of the, let's see if I can get the right word for prostitute from the Urban Dictionary. Can I use it without ins- that's what we have running the country today. They can be bought, by the way, for less money than Anderson Cooper is paid on CNN for failed ratings. Phone number is 855-400-7282. Well, there's a lot of news today on the Savage Nation. I don't know if you missed this one, but House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Demon Cat, California, received Planned Parenthood's Margaret Sanger Award, for no doubt for eugenics. And she said that Planned Parenthood people are smart and those who are pro-life are dumb. And she said this, whatever happens with the court, we must remember these battles will not be the end of the fight. And then she took to Twitter to brag about the award. The Margaret Sanger Award was awarded to Pelosi for her leadership, excellence, and outstanding contributions to the reproductive health and rights movement over the course of her career, meaning abortion. Now, Margaret Sanger was an eugenicist who promoted racist ideals about who should reproduce. She founded Planned Parenthood in 1921, and it was then known as the American Birth Control League. The name was later changed because it was offensive. Sanger wrote in that time, "The most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Pelosi said, "I accept this honor tonight on behalf of my colleagues who have fought the fight for and with you." Can you believe this? Hitler and Margaret Sanger differed on the topic of race, by the way. I read Margaret Sanger. She said that the imbecile shouldn't reproduce, poor people shouldn't reproduce, only people with high IQs should reproduce. That would leave out 99% of America. So we'd have 100 people left in the country. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com for all the rest of the news for today, home of Borders, Language, and Culture. The head of the United Kingdom, Cameron, orders a probe of Muslim Brotherhood. That's sort of 10 years too late, but okay. The Attorney General of Pennsylvania, of course a Democrat, part of the criminal machine, shut down a sting that snared Democrats taking bribes. She said it unfairly targeted African Americans. Duh. Well, they were the ones who took the bribes. So by dint of the fact that they took the bribes, they should be relieved of their burden of culpability because they're black? Yes. That's the top cop in Pennsylvania. Wow. And meanwhile, Democrats continue to be the party of the rich. Feds funded a climate change musical to the tune of $700,000 in order to make people sing about climate change. Meanwhile, the socialist mayor of New York, de Blasio, was booed by Mets fans during his first pitch. What else is in the news? Oh, well, let's see. The Chinese are buying large chunks of land all over America. Does that matter to you? Oh, well, ho-hum. Let's see. The president spoke today about Obamacare enrollment. Better than ever. Bigger than ever. Millions signed up overnight. I guess they gave out the ID cards in Venezuela. We don't know. But not millions of them signed up overnight, you fools. Even though healthcare.gov is closed down. How did anyone sign up if it was closed down? Meanwhile, Chevy Cobalt's, the electric car that Obama touted, was a success story, according to him. They blew up, caught fire. Big hearing today at General Motors, better known affectionately as Obama Motors. Obamacare, Obama Motors, let's see, Obama thrill rides. Hispanic television news was analyzed. It's a 6-to-1 liberal bias. Duh. Wow, that's shocking. All right. Meanwhile, in France, the far-right party is surging in the polls. And that's, of course, because France is fed up with multiculturalism, fed up with the Muslim invasion, fed up with high taxes, fed up with degeneracy, fed up with the fruits of the labors of the far left. So the far-right, Le Pen, is now, of course, hugely popular. In America, if we had a far-right party, meaning a Democrat party of the 1960s,
Savage.